Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. So today's topic is what got you into wrestling? And we'll get into that right after a word from one of our great sponsors. Hey, if you're like me, you do a lot of shopping online, and I have been using Amazon Prime for years. Amazon Prime gives you free two-day shipping on all of your orders. It gives you access to hundreds of movies and TV shows that you can watch instantly on any of your devices. And hey, we've got a special offer for you. If you go to doubledropkick.com and click on the Amazon Prime banner, you can get a free, that's right, I said free, 30-day trial today. So just go to our website, doubledropkick.com, click on the Prime banner, or you can just go to doubledropkick.com/prime and get your free 30-day trial today. So, Mark, you and I, a lot of people may not know, we grew up together. We're actually recording this podcast from my mom's basement, and we've been lifelong friends, wrestling fans, and we saw each other a couple of weeks ago and just decided...
Got to do it, man. We got to do it.
And there's a lot of wrestling podcasts out there. There are a lot that are interview-based, which are great. I love those.
Right, absolutely. Steve Austin's got a great podcast.
Yep, Talk is Jericho's really good. I'm looking forward to JR's podcast. Mm-hmm. And then most of the other ones don't just talk about wrestling today, but they just kind of bash it.
Right, they just dissect every little piece of minutia in the wrestling business, and I just don't think it's necessary.
Right, right. And there may be a market for that, but we wanted to do a show that talks about literally the wrestling we grew up with.
Right.
And so, Mark, here's the question. When and where and what happened to get you into wrestling?
Well, you know, I had started watching wrestling, obviously, when I was a kid, just like most of us. And I think I was 9 years old. This was 85, 86 sometime, over at my great Aunt May's house. And my parents were talking, and it was just me and my sister, and she was playing. And I cut the TV on because I liked wrestling.
Yeah.
But I didn't structure my life around it.
Right, right, right.
I don't know how much of a 9-year-old's life you can structure around anything, but, yeah. You know. So, cut the TV on, and I didn't know who the guys were.
Right.
But I knew, man, this is a really cool matchup. Really, really big guys. And I wound up finding out, obviously, it was Ivan Koloff and Crusher Khrushchev.
Yep.
And they were fighting these two little guys, you know, the blonde-headed guy and the brown. And I didn't know who they were, but they had the bandanas. And,
yep.
And, you know, they were into it. And they were just beating these poor guys to death.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, it was an hour-long show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Said it's been a long time.
Right.
If it wasn't an hour-long show, they gave them a good 30, 45 minutes of that show for this match. And it was just that classic formula of the bad guy beating up the good guy.
Yeah.
And then finally, at the end, Ricky Morton jumped up on Crusher Khrushchev's shoulders and did a victory roll and pinned him. And I think I told you two things happened that day.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Express won their first NWA tag team titles.
Right.
And I became hooked on professional wrestling for life.
Yeah.
The story that those guys told, and I didn't know anything about anything.
I wasn't smartened up
to the business yet. And still to this day, as you know, I decided that I wanted to be a wrestler.
Right.
And I trained. And I wrestled for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I didn't make it.
Right.
You know, I never made any money. I never wrestled anybody famous.
Right.
I'm not bitter about that.
Right, right.
Because I did something. I heard a guy say one time, when I was a kid, my dream was to learn to fly and fly an airplane around the world, and I never did it. But I did get my pilot's license.
Right, right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That would probably be the first moment that I just remember, man, there's something about this that I like, and it kind of spoke to me, and I don't know what about it spoke to me, but I just loved it, and I've loved it ever since. And like you said, there's a lot of podcasts out there,
right?
And you can find them, and you know what they are,
and they're good,
and I listen to them,
right?
And I listen to the Pro Wrestling Torch podcasts almost once a day. I check out something on there, And they do a really good job, I would say, of presenting the good stuff
right.
about wrestling. But and I will say that I don't think as a wrestling fan, if I'm spending my money on it, I have a right
yeah.
to have an opinion
yeah.
about what I'm spending my
Absolutely.
Money on. But I just think sometimes we as wrestling fans can be a little bit too critical. And that reception that Rey Mysterio got, I just don't think he deserved it
right.
at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Because he didn't do anything wrong.
Right, right.
I still think they should have saved that spot for a heel that they wanted to get some
right,
some good heel.
Right.
But I don't think they anticipated that response.
Right, right.
But anyway, what that's a little bit about me.
Yeah.
I want to know a little bit about you.
Well, you know, we both grew up in Pendleton, South Carolina. So when we talk about wrestling, it was mainly Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, NWA.
Right.
And I'll be honest, when I was a kid growing up, wrestling came on at noon on Saturdays and Sundays.
Right.
I remember sitting at the bar at home eating lunch on Saturdays. My dad would come in from the farm. They would turn on wrestling, and they weren't really into it. And I just remember hating it.
Really?
For some reason, I did not want to watch it. I just had no interest in it. I can't remember if it was third or fourth grade, and my two friends in the class, Brad Finley, Toby Skelton, both liked wrestling.
Right.
And I remember Toby had, it was a special tag team edition of Pro Wrestling Illustrated with Rock and Roll Express and Fabulous Ones on the cover. And he brought that, and it just like, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to be friends with these guys, I'm going to have to start watching wrestling. So started watching it Saturdays and Sundays. And I remember because at that point, both of those teams were in a different territory. So I didn't get them on TV.
Right.
I remember the match you're talking about. We got home from church, and I was excited to see it because they had been promoting.
So it was a Sunday. Because
yeah.
In my mind, I always thought it was a Sunday afternoon,
yeah,
but I never knew.
It was a Sunday afternoon. I remember because they had been saying, hey, Rock and Roll Express is coming to Mid-Atlantic.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, Rock and Roll Express. Oh, yeah, those are the guys from the magazine, whatever. And I got home, and I'm like, the Russians, there's no way they can beat the Russians. And then you describe that match perfectly, and that's when I'm like, oh. And we, you know, the three of us at school, we formed a team. We were the number ones. We started going to each other's house. We would have the matches and stuff like that. And we, oh, you're this champ or you're that champ. And I think it was just, had I not had those friends, I don't know that I would have been as hooked, but it was, you know, it became our life. I remember right before the very first Great American Bash, Ric Flair was going to wrestle Nikita Koloff. And that was the first wrestling magazine I bought. And dude, it was all downhill from there. I mean, I was in, we grew up about 30, 35, 40 minutes from Greenville, South Carolina every Monday night.
Right.
NWA was there. And we were there. And I just remember the only question, it wasn't a question of whether we were going. It was, is Dad going to get us ringside seats?
Right.
And just so many great memories. You know, if there was a local show at a high school or whatever, we would try to go. But just
I remember the show that came to our high school, and Tatanka
right
was there.
That right when we were
and
in
this
high
was
school,
like right before he went to the WWE.
Yeah,
I mean I remember seeing him at that show.
Yeah,
and he spoke at a little thing.
Spoke in an assembly.
It was like it seemed maybe just a few months later he showed up on WWF television.
Yeah, that was it wasn't Smoky Mountain. What was the name of that?
I know Paul Jones was.
I think booking it, and I know the Fantastics wrestled
right
that night. I know, and then Tatanka, and it was a fairly decent.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
a fairly. Mr.
It.
Nelms hooked me up with front row seats, and but yeah, I mean that was really cool. But and by that time, you know, we were in, and you and I kind of had a different path
right.
because you lived in town, so you had cable.
Right.
So you had
right.
access.
So you were you had to watch it at 11 o'clock, and I was at 6:05. Even
yeah.
like when I got into college and would be going out on a Saturday night or going to do something,
right.
I would tell my friends, man, I can't do anything until about 8:15.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because at 6:05, I was there.
Well, right. So, yeah. So for me, what I saw on Mid-Atlantic on Saturday, and I think it was Worldwide Wrestling on Sunday, and they would show highlights from the TBS show.
Right.
But I never got to Really? Literally watched that. Hmm. Never, I didn't have exposure to AWA, didn't have exposure to WWF. Hmm. Now, I found World Class Championship Wrestling.
Right.
On, I mean, you're talking about you had to hold the antenna, right. It was fuzzy.
Right.
But I'm telling you, the world, at that point, we're talking mid 80s.
Right.
World Class hooked you in.
Yeah,
at the world famous Sportatorium.
Right.
But just some great stuff. And we're going to continue just talking about some of our great early memories of wrestling in just a moment, but we want you guys, we're trying to take our time and do this show, and just check out one of our sponsors and check them out right now. Hey, if you're a wrestling fan, there's no better place to buy officially licensed WWE gear than at the WWE shop. So just go to doubledropkick.com and click on the WWE shop banner, or go to doubledropkick.com/WWE and start your shopping today. So, Mark, we've been talking about how we got in to wrestling, and I have such admiration for you because you actually took that step and actually wrestled. And I'm actually later in life trying to get hooked up, not to wrestle, but, you know, ref or be a manager, stuff like that. So as you think back to your childhood, you know, before we were both smarting up, what was like this moment where you just kind of thought, oh, my goodness, you know, this guy's dead or broken in half, or where you didn't need JR to describe it to you. You just thought, oh, my goodness, there's no way he gets out of this or something. You remember any moments like that?
I remember specifically when J.J. Dillon was in the car following Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
And you just knew that something bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, and, you know, we take for granted all the backstage stuff and all the but that didn't happen as much back then.
No.
And I was just, man, this, you know, something's not right about this. And then they followed him up, and you see Dusty get out of his car.
Yeah.
And they go, all right, here we go. And they run and jump him and, you know, tie him to a truck. And then you hear Dusty Rhodes go, you better make it count. You better make it count.
And then, and he hits him, and they blacked it out.
And they blacked that out. So you, oh, my God, what happened to Dusty? You know, because I just, oh, just love Dusty Rhodes so much.
Yeah. You know, at that point, and the time we had been watching wrestling, there had been nothing like that.
That was hardcore, and I don't like that term too much, hardcore. But man, that was hardcore.
Right.
Before everything got over the top.
Yeah.
That was a violent angle.
Right.
For them, and it took a lot of guts for them to put that on at the time.
Yeah.
Based on who the audience for that show was.
Right. And I'm telling you, when you went to a live show and the horsemen are there, I mean, if you were a little kid, oh my goodness, you were pulling against them so, so hard.
Right.
And I remember when it was right around, maybe a year or two later, it was at the height of the horsemen where they jumped Ricky Morton in the locker room.
Yes, and scrubbed his face. Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, because still at that point, there was, again, I wasn't smarting up to the business. It was like, is it real blood?
Right.
Are they really cutting themselves? Is it a blood capsule?
Did they put something in their mouth?
And it's like, that mug got his face scraped off.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I believed it.
Man,
this is, that's not right. Why? And I can remember my dad would always say, son, you know, if they really did that.
Yeah, they would go to jail.
They would go to jail.
Yeah.
Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. And he would say, son, I'm a cop.
That's right.
I know exactly what I'm talking about. If I don't know who I'm talking about, who else does?
I remember, I think I was reading Flair's book, and that's not the first time they'd done something like that to Ricky Steamboat years before. But I remember, like I said, I didn't have WWF. I was always kind of biased toward NWA, but I'll never forget that very first Saturday night's main event, NBC 11:30, had to beg, sign my life over to stay up late on a Saturday night because we always got up and went to church on Sundays. But I just remember it was right after the first WrestleMania. So I had no clue what had anything.
Right. You didn't know any of this stuff.
So I remember that, seeing that, and like just seeing Hulk Hogan, who I'd read about, and had never seen a Hulk Hogan match before then. Because I didn't have cable, so I hadn't had MTV, the war to settle the score and all that.
You didn't get to see
and really started watching wrestling after Roddy Piper left NWA. I didn't know any of these guys. Like, really? I had no clue who any of these people were. And just
you didn't know Mr. T?
I didn't know. Well, he wasn't on that, but I did know Mr. T. And I'll never forget walking out of Bilo in Pendleton.
And they would have the videos.
They had the videos, and I saw WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I remember that
kiosk that was up front there. Yeah, I do.
We led such boring lives.
I can remember,
lives.
And I know we talked about this the other day, man. I would roll up pennies. My dad had a cup, and he would put his spare change in it, because this was back before everybody had debit cards.
Right.
He always had spare change at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And he would throw it in there, and about once a month, he'd say, if you want to roll it up, you can have it.
Yeah.
And you split it with your sister.
Yeah.
And there would always be, you know, $10-$15 worth of change in
it.
And I would roll it up, and then I would go to the Greenville Street Grocery or the Quickway or the Please You, and I would buy a couple of wrestling magazines with that money. And then when we would go to the video store, and they could say, you know, you can get one movie or you can get two movies, whatever, for the weekend. Jerry's Video had a great wrestling collection,
because
they had the world class, like the David Von Erich Memorial Cups and stuff. They carried all those in VHS. And every weekend, man, if there was no movie that had just come out that was really popular that I wanted to see, it was a old world class tape, or it was one of those old Coliseum home videos.
Yeah, Coliseum
home
video.
Awful, you know. Yeah. I mean, you'd have Hulk Hogan on the cover, and there'd be a Hulk Hogan match on it.
Yeah, but like a 5-minute one.
Right, but the rest of it would be, you know, Mean Gene and Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, or the Moondogs wrestling someone you never heard of. And that's one way wrestling, I think, over the last 30 years has improved, because used to be, you know, when I'm saying I'm watching it at noon on Saturday and Sunday, I'm watching an hour of jobber matches and interviews. Rarely.
I may have really seen, if you think about it, Dusty Rhodes wrestled on TV 4 or 5 times.
Right, right.
I mean, unless they were showing you clips of something that happened at the Bash, or he didn't wrestle on TV. Ric Flair, man, I can remember specifically him wrestling George South and Sam Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought, I finally got to see Ric Flair wrestle,
and
that's why he's the world champion.
Yeah.
You know, but I also at the same time thought, maybe Sam Houston or George South is better than I thought they were.
Right.
Because they almost beat Ric Flair.
That's what made
it. And it took being older to understand that's why people think he's the greatest of all time, because he could make you believe that the guy that you've been seeing get beat up by everybody else all week stood a chance against Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And that's why he'll always, I think, be considered the greatest of all time, because not many people could do that.
Because, that was a very, very rare talent that Flair had. But the thing that you talk about,
Flair was the last traveling world heavyweight champion.
Right.
For that reason. After it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You could have just Sting be your champion, and he didn't have to go defend against a guy who could brawl, and a guy who could technical, and a guy who was 6'8", and a guy who was 5'10".
Yeah.
He didn't have to go up and down.
Yeah. He didn't have to go, you know, to all the territories. But you talk about all the videos, and this is one of the reasons, you know, all these years later, WWE is still in business, is even though it was good quality videos, a lot of the NWA videos, the matches were edited, and so it's a 4-hour card, and you're getting a 2-hour video. So they're coming into the ring, and then it cuts to both guys are bleeding, and they're down in the corner. You're like, what just happened?
Yeah, how did we get from point? You're right. You go from like point A to point D with those.
Yeah,
and you'd miss that story that was told.
Yeah, it's just like whoa, what just happened? Because literally, it would go from walking to the ring to they're bleeding and sweating. It's like, what? And I mean, that's really not fair to the performers, because like you said, they're trying to tell a story. But I know, you know, back VHS, you only had so much.
Yeah, you can only put 2 hours on,
right.
Those things to begin with.
That's back when kids had a much bigger attention span as well. But we watch, I mean.
And watch them over and over.
Where are the tape out? Again,
I don't know how many times I rented that War Games tape.
Oh, yeah.
And now I got the War Games Blu-ray at home.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
And I think you can get that on WWE Shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is an incredible Blu-ray.
Yeah.
If you're into that kind of stuff, like when wrestling seemed real. You know,
yeah.
You know, especially like after the first two or three matches.
Yeah.
I thought they got a lot better because you took JJ out of the equation.
Right.
Or you took Big Boss Man under a hood out of the equation.
Yeah.
Who everybody knows this is the guy who's going to take the fall because. Yeah. Up at that point, now after MMA got popular, it was okay to tap out. But you remember being a kid, even Tully Blanchard in the I Quit match with Magnum TA, he never said I quit.
Yeah,
because they were it would have their in their thought that would have ruined. So he just said yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody ever gave up.
Oh
and
yeah.
You, the thought of seeing one of these guys is gonna quit.
Yeah. Well, I remember. You know, you talk about the whole tapping out deal. Like you had to give. You called it.
Right. They didn't even tap up. Give. They would say yes.
Yes.
Or nod
the head. And it was such an arbitrary thing because you'd be watching, you'd watch somebody, you know, reverse a figure four and Ric Flair, and he'd be nodding. He'd say, like, he just said yes. He said that he quit. And now there's like no doubt, and like either pass out. I just did hand quotation marks.
Hand quotation.
I'm used to doing a video podcast. So, but anyway, that's, you know, we would love to hear from you. So if you go on our website, there's a contact page. Leave us a comment. Leave us a comment on this post. Tell us what got you in to wrestling. We would love to hear from you. We may even read some of those comments on there. Mark, how can people get in touch with you if they want to, you know, find you on Facebook or find you at your house somewhere?
I wouldn't just come to the house.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
That probably wouldn't be a good idea. My email address is Mark Whitman, MarkWhitman, 1975@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page that we're kind of trying to tweak a little bit and get going. The Double Drop Kick Show, and that's all one word.
Yeah.
On Twitter at the DDK Show.
Yeah.
I could give you my cell phone number. If you want to send me a private message, I'll give you my cell phone number. But I would love to hear from you. I'd love to, if you got any questions about anything, just let me know. Hit me up. And like he said, we'll read them on the air.
Yeah, and we would love, you know, we've got, you know, several episodes planned out. We would love to hear from you. You know, what would you like to hear us talk about? You know, we really want this to be an interactive show. I'm Heath Mulliken, and I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and all that. Again, all these links will be on our website. But we just appreciate you listening. If you could download this on iTunes once it's available, give us a rating, give us a review. That really helps. And like I said, just let us know honestly what you think, because we're just trying to figure this thing out and make a good go of it. And I'm excited for our next show as we are into WrestleMania season. Mark and I are going to be discussing our top five WrestleMania moments and matches. A lot of you have already responded to Facebook, that Facebook question. So we're going to be sharing a lot of those comments. But anyway, for the Double Drop Kick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And we will see you later.